This is the first declaration of the seven I ams in the book of John. Jesus said, and then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. I pray that you will touch this morning's message. Prepare our hearts and our minds to hear and to receive what you have prepared. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. And everyone said?
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to come down there if you don't mind. Well, I'm excited to be here. For those who don't know, my name is Pastor Artie. We are sister churches. I'm the associate pastor in Calvary Assembly of God in Stockville, which is about 30 minutes south of here. I got a phone call. Well, actually, I got a notification from Dad, which is Pastor Art, that I'm going to be preaching here this morning. So that happened on Wednesday. Amen, right? So back home, we're doing a study on the names of God. And this morning, you're going to get a chance to participate with that. So, last week, I was able to preach on the name Jehovah Jireh. I'll be clear with you, there's only one name of God. But what God has done in the scriptures has broken down the attributes of who he is for us to better understand. More importantly, when we pray, we can pray with an understanding of that. The Hebrew word Jehovah means God. We don't really see the word Jireh in the scriptures. It's like the rapture. It's in there, it's just not in a single word. Rapture means caught away. Jireh, we understand it most as provider, will provide. That's how it was translated. But in the Hebrew, it's better translated as we'll see to it. Jehovah Jireh is God will see to it. We started in the scripture in John 6:35, and Jesus declares, we don't want to ever pass by when Jesus says, I am. Where do we see the word I am first in the scriptures? Is when Moses is instructed to go get the nation of Israel out of Egypt. He says to him, you tell them that I am sent you. Jesus is declaring in this point right now the deity of who he is. He says that I am. He's saying that I am all God and I'm all man. It's an important, when we read through the scriptures, I am is the highest level of who God is. I am the creator. I am, and so Jesus saying, I am the bread of life. In this statement that he is making, it is his nature is fully God and fully man. This statement says to us that we will find our full satisfaction both on the physical realm and our physical needs and our spiritual needs through Jesus Christ. Amen. But we have to go back a little bit to understand where Jireh comes from. In Genesis 22, we come across a story. Now, I'm not going to read it verbatim. I like to make up my stories as we go along. It is doctrinally sound, but it is the APH Junior version of it. So, we come across Abraham. Now, before this, we understand, right? Abram and Sarai's name were changed after the birth of their son Isaac. But we come across in the Genesis 22, Abraham is asked by God to take his son Isaac onto Mount Moriah and to sacrifice him. This happens in his tent, and he's speaking to the Lord. And so the next morning he gets up, he tells his servants, we're going to prepare for a little journey. Me and Isaac have to go and make some sacrifices. And so him and his servants go. We read these things like these are quick journeys. But it took him a couple days to get to the foot of Mount Moriah. And he tells his servants, you guys stay here. Me and the boy are going to go on up. We have a little adventure to go together. Now, you got to understand that Isaac isn't a baby. We'll see here in a little minute here that Isaac is probably between the ages of 10 and 15. Now, we know this is because in the point of this is he's old enough to reason with the father in this conversation. And from the time Abraham and Isaac leave the servants to where they get to make the sacrifices, it says that they were on a two-day journey. And so you got the father and son heading up the mountain. They're getting ready to have this journey. And Isaac goes, Dad, yes, son, what can I do for you? He goes, Dad, I see that we got some wood here. He goes, yes, we do, son. We're going to make a sacrifice. You know, I'm going to say there's a little bit of time. Got some time. They're chit-chatting, talking about the Yankees or the Mets, whatever team you like. They're walking up the mountain here, and he goes on to say, Dad, I noticed that we got the wood, and we got fire. Yes, son, we got, dude, you know we got to make a sacrifice. We'll leave a little bit of time here. Isaac's building up the courage to talk to the dad, right? He goes, Dad? Yes, son. We got wood. We got fire. What's a sacrifice? And in this moment, we see Abraham. He uses the word Jehovah Jireh. He says, Son, God will see to it we have a sacrifice. And it says for 2 days they journeyed up the mountain. They get to their place and they build their altar that they're going to sacrifice. You notice Isaac's right there alongside of them, stacking them stones up. Now we know he's the age of reason, right? He reasoned with the father on the journey up that we have everything we need to make a sacrifice, but a sacrifice, an animal here. You can breeze by the points. But Abraham isn't fighting the father. He's not arguing with Abraham. Isaac, I apologize. Isaac's not arguing with Abraham. He's not fighting him. There's a lesson in that alone on the trust between Isaac and Abraham. We can breeze by that, but it's the same type of faith we're required to have between the Father and ourselves. We say it easily, God will provide, but do we act that way in our lives? Do we live our lives the same way that God, not only is he willing, is he able to provide? It's easy when we're standing on top of the mountain and the sun is shining and everything's going delightful. But is that the same God as when you're standing neck deep in muck and it doesn't seem like there's any way out of this? You're trudging through the minutia of life. Is he still the same God that was on the mountaintop in our lives? Is he still the provider? Or is he going to see to it that we'll get to the other side? Abraham puts Isaac up. The scriptures makes it clear, right? Isaac didn't fight him. He didn't throw a tantrum. Ties him up. It says Abraham drew his knife when the father spoke. Now let me ask you a question. Do you think Abraham, who's getting ready to sacrifice his son, is going to be aware looking around hoping that God is going to provide some other option? So when the Bible says that there was a ram caught in the thickets, don't you think he did I'm a father, I have some children, I think the first thing I'd have done is looked around. Did God hide the sacrifice for me? I just got to be looking for it. So the ram wasn't there before the altar was built. The ram wasn't there when Isaac was tied up and put on it. You know, when we look at this story, we look at the fact is this. Isaac is a representation of Christ in our life. Jesus didn't fight when he went to the cross. He said, no man takes my life. I'm willingly laying it down. We can overlook that, but that's a significant part in our walk with the Lord. Is Abraham was asked to give up the treasure. You know, you look at Abraham, he's one of the wealthiest men in the world. Everything he touched turned to gold. God blessed him greatly. And none of it mattered to him. In every situation, hey, you go ahead and take it. It's just a, 100,000 head of sheep. You go ahead, I don't need them. Him and Lot had just, you take whatever you want, I'll take whatever is left over, I'll keep moving forward. He didn't fight over it. This is a little bit different, right? The promised child, how many years go? I mean, we know there's 13 years or 14 years between Ishmael and Isaac. He's been waiting a long time for this promised child. And God's asking is, Abraham, what's in our life? What's in your life more important than me? Now, I've heard it said as this. Abraham went up there with this confidence in his soul. That even if he struck the boy down dead, that God had the ability to raise him back up. So even if the ram wasn't in the thicket, providing an opportunity, a sacrifice greater, that God would raise this young man back up, because this was my promise. Sometimes we hang on to the promises that we've received a little too tight. But God had something greater, right?
Amen.
God had something greater not only for Abraham, but for Isaac. More importantly, he had something greater for us. You know, God never asks us in our lives to go as far as he's willing. God stopped Abraham at the sacrifice of his son before he made the sacrifice. He didn't stop Jesus from going to the cross. He made the ultimate sacrifice so salvation is available to us. God went all the way. He sacrificed his son. He took him to the cross and he put him on there. That's our redemption. God never asked us to go as far as he's willing to go for us. God will always see to it that there's a ram in the thicket. That being said, that doesn't mean God's not going to stretch us out. I mean, Abraham walked almost 4 days with the knowledge that he's going to have to kill his child if God didn't come up with a different answer. More importantly, he walked for 4 days willingly to give up the promise. But God always sees too that we have what we need. Always. It'll bring us back to where Jesus is now. Jesus is saying that I am the bread of life. We see on that mountain, Mount Moriah, which is where we get Jireh. Abraham named that place is that God will see to it. God saw to it, provided. In his time of need, there was a ram in the thicket. We know in scriptures that that's a sacrificial lamb. Right? In that area of time, they made sacrifices to cover their sins. When Jesus went to the cross, Jesus went there to wash away our sins. Our sins are no longer covered. They're no longer with us. The moment we ask Jesus to come into our lives and to wash us clean, we are made pure in the eyes of God because of the sacrifice Jesus was willing to make. It's important we read through this because we have a church that wants to remove the Old Testament like it's not relevant. But we have an incredible relevant word in what Abraham was doing on Mount Moriah. Not only does it provide us the proof that God will provide in our time of need, it is an example of this, that Isaac didn't fight. No. He was the foreshadowing, he was the foretelling of what was to come for us. And God held on to us, his treasure. Scripture says that we're his, he's our inheritance and we're his. And he made a way. After man messed it all up in the garden, God made a way. We come into this, now we're into the New Testament. We're coming into the section where Jesus speaks that I am the bread of life. You know, this is the first time since God created manna in the that God uses bread as a significance again. So let me prelude this. So we're in the book of John and we're reading this, and Christ says, I'm the bread of life. 2 days before this, this is where Jesus stole a little kid's lunch and fed the 5,000. Now, Jesus didn't steal anyone's lunch. The boy willingly gave it up. But he took 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and he asked the Lord to bless it, broke it, and he fed the 5,000. Now, we use the 5,000 because that's the men that were on the site, but the realistic, it was probably closer to 20,000 people sitting there. Women and children were there. Now you can say, well, he fed the 5,000, and he did. What happened at the end of that, though? What did the disciples come back with? Right?
Yeah.
What the significance is this, that God saw to it to feed the 5,000, but he says this, is my bakery never runs out. I have a plenty. We overlooked that part that God broke the bread, but he didn't run out. He said, I have a sufficient amount to take care of you. And it said that he fed them all till they were satisfied, and then there was extra. God's statement is that I don't have just enough to take care of your needs. I have more than enough. And I will see to it that you are taken care of. He followed that up by, you know, just doing a little thing like walking on water. No big deal. And now he's sitting down and he's having this conversation, and he connects it to this, is that you're here because I fed your belly. He goes, well, I am providing manna in the wilderness. Now, the manna in the wilderness was legitimately their sustaining bread. God doesn't provide, they can't eat. There's nothing there for them to eat. And at every turn, God provided. And he put stipulations. You can only take enough for today. Except on the 6th day, you had to provide enough for the Sabbath. Other than that, you weren't allowed to store it up. You stored it up, you went back the next morning, it was filled with maggots and worms. Why? Because God was making a point, not just for the nation of Israel, but for all of us, that I can sustain you. Day by day, if need be. Now, I'm not saying that doesn't mean that you don't put something away, you don't put retirements away, you don't put up for a rainy day. That doesn't speak to a lack of faith. Be understanding, though, that that's just that. If God tarries, I'm going to put a little something away. But that's not my future. I don't trust in the green. I mean, it can go away that quickly. You know, I was raised, you put away for a rainy day, you put a little bit, you know. But how quickly does that rainy day go away when your roof starts leaking, your furnace goes out, and the refrigerator breaks? But God still provides, right? You know, we have a Yeti full of ice, and it keeps our food frozen long enough to move forward. It's a perspective that we have to have in our life. Jehovah Jireh, God will see to it that my needs are taken care of. Now, people want to stand there. I believe that God wants to see to it that those other 12 baskets are ours to have also. He will see to our needs, but he wants to pour out upon you a blessing. It's a matter of our perspective. Do we hoard that blessing? Or are we willing to give it back to the Lord? Abraham held nothing back from Jesus. He was willing to give it all to him. And God was willing then to provide, and he did. Everything Abraham touched, like I said before, turned into gold. Jesus connects this statement. So I am the bread of life. He's saying to us in this moment that I am your sustaining power. Thought that came into my heart when I was preparing the message is this. Is it just me? And it could be. But when my spiritual man becomes hungry, how quickly my physical man becomes unsatisfied. When I allow my spiritual man to become hungry, I don't eat of the bread of life, which is where Jesus connected in John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and all things have life because of the Word. Now connecting it to him saying, as I am the bread of life. He's saying that this is your sustaining power, that this is far more important than the actual bread that you eat, right? He said that man don't live on bread alone, but every word that comes from the Father. When my spiritual man becomes hungry, meaning I haven't taken the necessity of time to read my word and to pray every single day, then my physical man becomes unsatisfied with what I have. We live in a world that tells you you should have that because you exist. You should have that new car because you want it. You should have a bigger house and more land because you want it. You should make more money at your job because you want it. Now, I think you should have a bigger house, a brand new car, and as much money as God can pour out upon you. God says that he wants to open up the floodgates of heaven and pour out upon us. But it first starts as this. Are we found satisfied in what we have today so that God can then bless us with a bountiful for tomorrow? I use the example as this. In my household, we only have one nice car. That's my wife's. Because I don't want to get the phone call that busted up vehicle I gave her broke down. Because that makes for a miserable week. So God blessed me. I prayed. I said, Lord, just let me give my wife a nice vehicle, our family safe vehicle we can drive around. So since I've been married, that she's always had the nice car. And I drive whatever I can afford. Remember in that same wilderness where God provided manna, he said in there that their shoes didn't wear out and their clothing didn't wear out? I liken that to the story as this, that I can take a truck that should have been in the junkyard with the blessings of my cousin, who is an incredible mechanic, can drive it for 6 years. It shouldn't have passed inspection in the first place, but I got 6 more years out of it. He made a truck that wasn't worth having and got me 6 years because I couldn't afford 2 payments. And then the car my wife drives lasts a little longer so I can buy another piece of junk and make it last 6 more years. Now, I would love to drive around in a fancy new pickup truck. You know, I'm a truck guy, so I just drive trucks because I like them. But I'd love to drive around in a nice fancy new truck. But it's not a necessity, and I don't need it. As long as mine starts and gets me to where I'm going, in a state of an emergency, if I have to go somewhere farther than a couple miles, I can always borrow my wife's car. It'll work. But I'm not held to this situation. My trust is this. God provided me this truck. I'm going to drive it until it physically the wheels fall off, which pretty much happened about 2 weeks ago. You know the crazy part, though, is God will provide. You know, last 6 weeks I've been in Florida on a mission by God. Had some family members that needed some help, and God had provided me a chance to go down and work. Well, I was down there because I'm a little bit of a redneck. I was perusing Facebook for a blessing of the Lord. My wife would call it a curse, but I call it a blessing. And I found down there a rust-free granted no motor, no transmission or front end, Ford Excursion. See that old busted up truck that broke down? That whole front end will fit right on that truck. So my cousin, he didn't know this at the time, is gonna help me put the motor and transmission, and I'm gonna get 10 more years out of a truck that should have been in the junkyard. Why? Because God always provides. He always sustains our needs. You know, do I believe he could buy me 2 trucks? Sure. I don't need 2 new ones. I just need one that's reliable to get me from point A to point B, and one that my wife can feel comfortable in. You know, I talk about is we've been struggling with my water. I grew up, so little life history here is like, I grew up in this church from the time I was 14 till I was 28 when we went to Calvary. And I got married. I don't know what my well was like. It was my dad's problem. I was just a kid. And then I moved into East Greenwich, which had municipality water. I just had to worry about the bill. But we now built a house where there's a well and a septic. And about a couple of weeks ago, the welder decided to be stinky. Like, I didn't know anything about it. I didn't know water could smell. You know what I'm saying? But it did. Got in the shower, and it's like, I don't think I want to take a shower in this. This don't smell too right. And so we're calling some people, and you know what I did is I just hit my knees. It's like, I don't know what to do, Lord. You provided me. I believe without a doubt that my house is a gift unto the Lord. My wife and I were relocating into the Hudson area closer to the church we're working at. We prayed specifically. And God gave us everything we prayed for in that home. Held nothing back. Shot myself, I should have prayed for a garage. I would have gotten that too. She prayed harder than me. She got the pool. I parked out in the snow. But everything we prayed for, everything we asked the Lord, he provided. You know? I realized quickly, Matt, here's a little sidebar for us. You know, you're praying things. Be specific. And it's okay if you're like me and I can't remember, I write things down. That way, when I'm praying, I pray specifically what I want for because I wrote it down. See, the crazy thing is this, then the Holy Spirit's within you and you're seeking the Lord and you're feeding your spiritual man, you won't pray amiss. You'll pray inside of the guidelines of God because the Holy Spirit will speak to you. Hey, I need a house. No. You need 2 acres. You need a ranch. You got bad knees. You can't do stairs. So don't ask for stairs. You know? You want separation from the kids. You love them, but you don't want to kill them. So we'll have some space between the primary bedroom and the kids' bedroom. You know, we'll put a kitchen and a living room in there. You know? And mama wants a pool, so let's throw the pool in the line. And I would have been glad without the pool, but I found out that I'm the only one that swims in the pool anymore. That's okay. I enjoy it. But God gave us exactly what my wife and I sat down. Everything we asked for. We had a single floor ranch. You know, with the preparation that my dad's going to get old and can't walk here shortly. I'm just kidding. That's just picking on the old man. You can tell him. But within a very few dollars, I can make everything in my home wheelchair accessible. And my wife was born with a dislocated hip on one side, and there's a good chance if God doesn't provide a miracle surgery, you know, somewhere when she's 100, we may have to end up in a wheelchair. And I made sure that the house would provide. God provided. But it started as this, is I do my devotions. I read the Word. And then I ask the Lord, what is it that I need to sustain my life? And then along the way, you know that God gives you the imagination and the ability to dream bigger than that? And then he gives you the provisions to ask for those dreams. You know, mom and dad, you have the right to dream for your children. Write down your dreams for them. Be specific. You know, I wish I'd have known this ahead of time. I'd have written down the dreams and prayed more specifically. I just asked that my children would serve the Lord and do something in the ministry. I'm believing God will provide. He will see to it. But I would say to you is, what specifically Where do you want to see them end up? What do you want to see them do? Because God will see to it. They're your heritage, your gift. You have the rights in the spiritual realm to claim that and declare it before the Lord and to speak that blessing over them. I heard a preacher say, don't get caught up in the circumstances. Don't agree with the circumstances right now that your children are going through. Stand on the promises that God gave for tomorrow. Because God will provide what is needed so that your children will see the glory of the Lord and the blessings. We're talking this morning, the name is Jehovah Jireh. God will see to it that we have all that we need. More importantly than that, he had 12 baskets left over. He says, see that, that I won't open up the floodgates of heaven and pour out upon you a blessing for those who seek me. The key to this conversation is he is Jehovah Jireh when we first seek ye the Lord and his righteousness. It's a perspective as this. Abraham had his life in order with the Lord. Nothing was off limits from God. The treasure that he waited all those years for wasn't off limits when God asked him. And because of that, God willingly poured out upon him and gave him all the promises that he made to him. Now, Abraham went to sleep with one son. But his heirs can now number. You can't count them. And soon we'll see the blessings that the land grant that God had blessed them will be theirs. The promises of God are yea and amen. They will never, he's not grown weak, though he is the Ancient of Days. And he's never came up short. Right? I grew up listening to it, which was, when I was younger, it didn't make no sense until I got older, is that God is never late. He's always on time. But sometimes it takes the Lord a long time to do things suddenly. And sometimes we've tied a knot on our rope and we're hanging on for dear life. Why? Because sometimes God will stretch us. Is everything yours truly God's? Or are you standing on the things that you have built? My savings accounts, my retirement accounts, my nest eggs? Or did I build everything on the Lord and all those things are blessings upon that he's given? Perspective is, here's what I can tell you. Jehovah Jireh is for real. He will see to it that everything you ask, all that you seek, when our lives are in order with him, meaning first, we seek him, we read our word, we pray, we prioritize the spiritual man. That way, our physical man can be blessed. Amen?
Amen.
Let's stand as we close in prayer. All right, Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the opportunity to be in your house, to be with the brothers and sisters in the Lord. Lord, you said any two are gathering and agreeing on one thing, Lord, it is established in heaven, Lord. So I pray that this morning that you will pour out a blessing upon these people. Lord, hear their hearts and their pleas. Lord, I pray that you would just pour into their lives, first and foremost, a spiritual awakening and anewing. Let the power of the Holy Spirit be upon them and refresh them, Lord, as they get ready to go into another week, Lord. Lord, you know each and every one of us, our circumstances, our situations, our needs, Lord. And this morning I pray that you will pour out a bounty and a blessing upon our lives and our homes. Lord, let us go from this place together safely, Lord. Guard and keep us and protect us. And Lord, bring us back together on Wednesday so that we can feed our spiritual man, Lord, with the manna of the Word of God. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, everyone says,
Amen. Amen.
You feel dismissed?
Let's take